Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Your life, your country. You're listening to the Laura Ingraham Podcast.
I haven't seen it, so I've just come from our own meeting. But the transcript is, the fact is that the President of the United States, in breach of his constitutional responsibilities, has asked a foreign government to help him in his political campaign at the expense of our national security, as well as undermining the integrity of our elections. That cannot stand. He will be held accountable. No one is above the law.
Nancy Pelosi is doing a updated version of you have to read the bill. You have to vote. You have to pass the bill to know what's in it. Remember that for the health care? We've got to pass the bill to know what's in it. Now it's, I haven't read the transcript, but the president committed a gross violation of trust of the American people and, you know, of course, various crimes. David Axelrod's tweeting out, oh, this is much worse than we thought. It is preposterous. The Justice Department, after I read this, it's clear the Justice Department made the right call in concluding that this did not rise to the level of any type of concern that would indicate some major crisis and a whistleblower and all. This is the most ridiculous exercise in futility that I've ever witnessed. And I've seen a lot in Washington, D.C. But as I said last night, this is what they have. They have no other cards to play. They're not going to pass the USMCA. They're not going to vote on infrastructure. They're not going to do anything on immigration. All these things that would actually be good for the country, they refuse to act in a bipartisan way because they know that the economy is not going to go into recession. It's going to get hurt by this stuff eventually, but it won't go into recession as they hoped. So Mueller didn't work. Russia didn't work. Recession didn't work. And so now we're back to we got to remove him from office because we can't bank on our candidates and our policies and our plans to beat him at the ballot box. Joining us now, Bill O'Reilly. I have in my hands his new book, The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America. And I love it. Under his name, it says author of 15 number one bestsellers. Oh, my gosh. Bill O'Reilly, how are you? It's great to talk to you today.
I'm trying to be humble.
Yeah, you and Trump. What do you think today?
You got that book. I signed that book to you. You can get some money for that on eBay. You know that, right?
I love it, Bill. Thank you very much for sending it to me, for coming on the show. It just came out. It's obviously going to be another number one bestseller. I want to talk about the book in a second because you go back and do research, interviewed like over 100 people about Trump, the man, his family, his upbringing, and how he became the person he is today. And it's a biography, really, political biography of him and his family. But what do you think of this histrionic response to a whistleblower who no one's interviewed yet? And even after the transcript comes out, they say, well, they can't trust the transcript.
Well, as you know, I'm a simple man, so I've broken it down for my BillO'Reilly.com audience this way. There are two major allegations about President Trump's phone call with the Ukraine President Zelensky. One is that he, the President of the United States, committed a constitutional violation of some kind. Well, I went over the transcript, and it's not even close. There is no constitutional violation there. It didn't happen. And anyone who says it does on CNN or MSNBC or the others is lying to you. There's no constitutional violation. The second thing is that President Trump allegedly violated election integrity by asking Zelensky to look into what Joe Biden did regarding his son Hunter when Mr. Biden was vice president. Now, that is a purely subjective phrase, election integrity, all right? You can't prove it or disprove it. So the president wanted to know what Vice President Biden did inside Ukraine back when his son was working for a Ukrainian company, getting millions of dollars from that company. It doesn't seem to be unreasonable to me. If you're going to run against a man for president, this is what they call intelligence operations. You get information, right? Everybody does this. It didn't say anything other than the transcript. Look, can you look into the Biden thing and find out what happened there? I would have done that if I had president. I mean, you know, I don't think it violated election integrity, but I do understand that argument could be made, and I think that's what you'll see going forward.
Yeah, what the attorney general said in his review was that they did not see any election law issue arising from this transcript. That when they saw it, when they heard the and read the whistleblower's complaint, they did not see any issue. And this was the Office of Legal Counsel.
That's a Trump Justice Department. So what's going to happen now going forward, and this is really bad for the country and everyone should know it, is that the House of Representatives is going to hold hearings on election integrity, and the usual suspects will convict Donald Trump of heinous crimes, and those who support Donald Trump will say he didn't do anything, and it'll go on and on and on and on. The guy who might get hammered here, though, is Joe Biden, because he admitted to what he did. He admitted he went over to Ukraine and told them they weren't going to get $1 billion in loans unless they fired a prosecutor who was looking into his son's company. I mean, that's the big headline right now, I think, and that can't help Joe Biden among independent voters, can it?
No. No. I don't think it does either. So nobody's talked to Hunter Biden. He's just not even available, apparently. I mean, I don't know.
Well, he's got China problems, too. Hunter Biden, there's no doubt, made millions of dollars because his father was vice president. Now, you can make an argument that the Trump children do that as well. And I wouldn't dispute it. But I don't think you're going to see Hunter Biden popping up on the Laura Ingraham program anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about, quote, friendly media.
He doesn't want to. Because, look, he did it. He took the money. He got the money because his dad was VP. There's really not much else left to say, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he did. Nepotism lives. You know, an interesting part of the United States of Trump, my book came out yesterday, is that I chronicle in great detail why Donald Trump is obsessed with Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And that's the genesis of this whole story, that Donald Trump is furious because he believes that the Obama administration was corrupt overseas. And he believes that President Obama got away with it. And this ties into the Russian stuff. So just one quick story, because I think your listenership will be interested. In the United States of Trump, I chronicle that Barack Obama was informed about Russian intrusion into our election in August of 2016, yet told no one, didn't give anybody a heads up. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump is furious about that to this day. And I think that had a large part of why he called the Russian, the Ukrainian president.
Well, I think he has a score settling personality.
Yeah.
Where does that come from? What in your research? Where does that come from?
His father, in the book, the one guy who Donald Trump had to basically kneel to was his father, and he had a close relationship, but a very fractured, as far as point of view is concerned, relationship with Fred Trump. And Fred Trump, he kept scores. And so his son, who followed his father into the real estate business, the only sibling that initially did, and he has a picture, Donald Trump does, of his father and mother on the Resolute desk in the Oval Office to this day. But the relationship between Fred Trump and Donald Trump was turbulent.
Explain that.
Fred Trump was a tough German, first generation. His father had come over and made a ton of money by running a cat houses in the Yukon and Seattle. When you read that part, you'll laugh out loud. Donald Trump's grandfather ran a place called the Poodle Dog. And he literally got thrown out of Seattle. And then he went up to the Yukon where the gold rush was going on. Anyway, Fred Trump, the son of Friedrich Trumpf, was a very tough guy. And he controlled a lot of what happened in Brooklyn and Queens, New York. He had politicians on a pad. He was a guy who you didn't mess with. And you wouldn't take one look at him, and you know that. And Donald Trump, you know, noted that. He was very close to his father.
Yeah, well, it seems that that toughness and that, you know, that impulse to punch back, to swing at every pitch, that's deep-seated. We all have a fingerprint of memory and experience in our lives that, you know, ends up directing us at various points, and I think compels us to take certain directions that we might not have taken if we had different experiences. That's just the way it is. And
well,
so,
no question that Donald Trump got involved with this Ukraine thing because he feels that the Obama administration got away with corruption, and he can't stand that. And that is well documented in the book, if anybody cares to see how all of this stuff really evolves. It doesn't come out of just happenstance.
And when you see his rise, and you talk about how his hosting The Apprentice was really a – people joke about it, like, oh, you're just a reality show. But how that really prepped him for the presidency. Explain that, if you would.
Okay. So Donald Trump's a brilliant man. And the United States of Trump, the book, is not pro-Trump or con-Trump. But if you don't understand that he's a brilliant man, then you're not so brilliant. Because he is. And he understood that doing a reality show where millions and millions of people watched each week got him into the American landscape. So he didn't have to tell everybody who he was like John Kasich did or like Ted Cruz did. You know, people who follow politics know that, but the folks don't know it. Mm-hmm. And so he had a tremendous advantage when he ran for president. He wanted to run for president from 1990 on. Now, I never thought he would do it. He told me, and I said, oh, yeah, what are you going to run
for president? Either.
Bolivia?
I never thought
he would get it. But he was smarter than me, and he knew that his identity as an authoritative businessman was going to overwhelm the Republican field, and it absolutely did.
And you point out that this one phrase on page 143 really helped, I think, propel him to the highest office in the land, the most powerful country in the world. This thought that I think many of us have had, many millions and millions of Americans have had, when looking at the culture, looking at politics, looking at the academy, even our churches. And it's the phrase or the sentence, I guess, we're losing our country.
Right. So Donald Trump sincerely believes, and this is another thing that separates him from many politicians, he's not a phony. Trump believes that if you don't force immigration law, if you don't enforce it, this is a dereliction of duty. He believes that if you allow China for three decades to fix the trade relationship so that China benefits far more than the USA, that's an irresponsible action. Donald Trump believes that if criminals are not held accountable for their crimes, that we have anarchy. This is personal to him. Mm-hmm. All right. So all of these things he saw happening, and he said to the folks, you want this? Is this the kind of country you want? You want to lose your country and go into an anarchy? California is a state that embraces anarchy. There's no question about that. And that's why Trump's after California now. So his sincere belief system helped him a lot in the first go-around. Now it's a different story. So it's going to be an interesting race. It's not a lock for Donald Trump to get reelected.
Yesterday at the UN, a lot of people remarked that he looked really tired And I have to agree, he did look worn out yesterday. And yet the speech, as written, was very powerful. And it actually was the first time I remember an American president staring right at the Chinese and stating the way it is in our relationship with China. Iran, that's been done before, but not with China. Not like he did it. And also, the language, again, was I don't know. I thought it was very inspiring. The delivery, not so much. Let's listen.
Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique.
Thoughts on that?
Stephen Miller wrote the speech. Trump was distracted because he had to deal with this Ukraine thing and decide what to put out, what not to put out, and how to handle. This is Russian collusion too. This is revenge of Russian collusion, if you want to make a horror movie out of it. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't sleep anyway, as you probably know. He's a vampire. Yeah. He doesn't sleep. So he was tired. He was exhausted. And Miller is a really good speechwriter. He gets to the heart of the matter quickly. Everybody knows what the point is. But I agree with you that Donald Trump didn't have the energy in delivering that speech that he usually has.
No, and what's odd is that later on in the day, he seemed much more like his old self.
But that's because he was walking the high wire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once it broke, and then once he was on the offense, then he gets energized. Then the adrenaline surges. So he's confronting the press with, "You're a bunch of liars," and that's actually what he's saying. Mm-hmm. This fake news is just a euphemism for "you're liars." And you know, this is a nothing. We'll put it out, but you still won't report it that it's a nothing, which is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, he responded this morning to the release of that transcript with the Ukrainian president. Let's listen.
The letter was a great letter, meaning the letter revealing the call. That was done at the insistence of myself and other people that read it. It was a friendly letter. There was no pressure. The way you had that built up, that call, it was going to be the call from hell. It turned out to be a nothing call, other than a lot of people said, "I never knew you could be so nice."
So he's branding the transcript as, you know, he believes that it speaks to, look, there's nothing unusual about this. It was one mention of Biden and his son. And, you know, that's what he does. It's a great letter. I love it. It's a great letter. He's a showman,
you know,
too.
If he did it, it's great. You know,
yeah.
Whatever he does is great.
It is funny.
But I have to say, if I were president of the United States and I were Joe Biden was, you know, might be my opponent, I certainly would be doing ops about Joe Biden. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, if Joe Biden did something in a foreign nation that was crooked, I want to know about it. I really don't know what the outrage is here. Okay, election integrity. I guess you can make some stretch that no politicians investigate their opponents. I mean, you want to say that, go ahead. But, you know, it is a foreign country, and we shouldn't be involving foreign countries in our election. But all Trump did was, can you find out what happened there? I think I would have done the same thing and not thought I would get impeached.
Well, yeah,
but
I mean,
that's where we are.
But this is where the Clintons did this as sport. I mean, that was the whole thing with Hillary Infusion GPS. And they said that was fine. I mean, this is called politics. Clinton started a war room. Nixon had his dirty tricksters. This wasn't a dirty trickster. This just like what happened.
What happened? So he could use it against Biden if Biden did something crooked, which it seems Biden did by his own admission. So Biden's not going to come out of this strong. The Democrats, I don't think the Democrats care about Biden very much. You know, what's her name? Warren is jumping up and down with glee today because both Trump and Biden are getting hammered. But, you know, to me, I'm not seeing a real big deal about all this.
No, I think it doesn't move the needle at all toward impeachment. And the most recent poll that came out yesterday, NBC poll, shows the country's overwhelmingly against impeachment.
Against it.
And I don't think the letter or the transcript is going to make it any more likely that they're going to love impeachment. I really don't see that.
I don't see any constitutional violation. That's what you would need to impeach. There's no way on earth the Senate is ever going to convict, even if it gets there. So a lot of danger here for the Democratic Party if they continue along these lines, which I think they will.
On page 273, Bill, you talked about the Trump, the first term of the Trump administration. And you talked about the, little rocket man and, all his efforts to both stand strong and the efforts for peace. It's a duality within Trump. But in the end, he wants peace. I mean, that's a very underreported part of his first term, is there's been prosperity, but there's also been peace.
War is bad for business. He never, and this is another, I think, interesting part of the United States of Trump, he never, ever was a war hawk. Never. In any of the conflicts, including Vietnam, and I talked to him in depth about his Vietnam experience, he's just not. That's not his mindset. His mindset is we can all make deals and prosper, and war does not enter into that.
Yeah, and he, all things considered, would rather get along with people, which is, it's you know what I'm talking about, the duality. He's such a tough guy, likes to smack hard, but he had a lot of friends who were Democrats, Republicans, moderates in between, and he's his own cat. He's his own kind of approach to things, but in general, he'd rather get along with people. And again, I think that the media misses that. And liberals used to want peace. They preferred peace. But now what they used to want and what they're saying now oftentimes are polar opposites, whether it's on border issues or this.
The liberal faction in America is at war with Donald Trump. So they're engaged in a war. And, all's fair in love and war. So they'll change any position to try to damage Donald Trump. And once you understand that that is what's in play, there is a civil war in this country. It's going to get worse. I mean, I know that Trump supporters, just by my website, BillO'Reilly.com, I know that Trump supporters are furious about this Ukraine thing. They see it as what? What's the big deal? What are you doing? Is it, we have to go through this again? We already threw Mueller, now we have to go through this again? So there are 60 million people in the United States who are absolutely angry right now. And the media will never give you their side of the story. You'll never hear from them. You'll only hear the hate Trumpers and the Nancy Pelosi's. That's what you'll hear. But believe me when I tell you, there is palpable anger on the streets of America today because of all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Bill, when you look at the, setting aside the political dynamic, Trump will either win or not. But he's not going to be around forever. And then the media will have to go on. I mean, the country goes on in one direction or another. China either eclipses us or we stand up for our national sovereignty and our own way of making money and having a strong economy. So all that's going to play out. But what about the media's role in all of this? How much have they compromised whatever was left of their integrity?
Here's how I see that question. Number one, the media, as far as an entity that reports in a fair, honest way, is finished in America. Mm-hmm. It'll never come back. So it's now a partisan media, and that's the way it will remain. I believe when Donald Trump leaves office, he will start Trump TV. He's going to start a news channel. I think he already has the financial backing to do so. That will destroy Fox News. It will destroy it. CNN is already destroyed. It's gone. They don't have one program on their 24-hour cycle that gets more than a million viewers. That's incredible. MSNBC /NBC News, owned by Comcast, makes money because of the Today Show. They make a little money on the Lester Holt broadcast. They make a little money on the far-left MSNBC ban. But it's identified with the far-left, and that's where it will stay. So you're never going to have the Walter Cronkite, the Fair newspapers. That's never going to happen again.
Yeah, Cronkite was a big liberal, though. I mean,
he was, but nobody knew it.
Well, my
father knew. Everybody thought they were getting...
My father knew it.
I worked for Rather at CBS. And I can tell you, it was very left-wing, but they were shrewd enough to mask it, at least somewhat. Now the mask is off.
Yeah, I agree. My dad had a bumper sticker, Rather Not, about Dan Rather. But that was like, you know, the real conservative types were like, oh, no, Walt, that's the way.
You know, Rather's a Texas liberal, Molly Ivins, these kid people, he was brought up that way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when he got power, that came more to the front. But, you know, if you want to look at it, Donald Trump has defeated the media, even though it doesn't seem that way on a day-to-day basis now, because his fake news branding and his attacks on the media have brought it to an awareness that every American now knows the fix is in. Mm-hmm. Bush never did that. Even though Bush got pounded, he never did that, Bush the Younger. And I called him on a couple of times, and he goes, FACA, that's just the way it's going to be. I said, all right, sir, that's it, but they're killing you.
Yeah, that's what he said about the Iraq War. Well, historians are going to sort it all out.
I'm like,
well, that's kind of a real casual toss-off of something that ends up electing Barack Obama, but, you know, what can you do?
But Trump beat the media. Mm-hmm. He beat them. Because they may be making money now, but their image among the American people is at an all-time low.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think you're right. I mean, there really are no Peter Jennings. That's all over. That's a bygone era. But there's also no Cary Grant. There's no great movie stars who are above the fray.
We live in a shattered culture where everybody does their own thing now. I mean, the Emmy Awards had the lowest ratings ever.
Horrible.
And I said, is anybody surprised? I don't know any of these people.
I don't know any of the people or the shows. I don't watch any TV.
Tiffany Lamp walking down the red carpet. I go, Tiffany Lamp? Who's Tiffany Lamp? Oh, she's on a Netflix show. I go, what? You know, I don't know any of these people.
Well, yeah, there's no remember
nor do I care to know them.
Bill, remember growing up, there was a common culture because the patriotism was just something you were for the most part. There were leftists and stuff, but it was mostly you put your hand over your heart, you said the Pledge of Allegiance, you saw the Memorial Day parade, you went with your family, you know, you basically knew the three television networks were going to have this, that, and the other thing on TV, and you know, you were all talking about the latest, you know, what happened on the Mary Tyler Moore Show or what happened on. Yeah, that was just – now that is all gone, and it's never coming back.
Everybody was doing the twist. Everybody was watching Ed Sullivan. And then if you were involved in any of that, you could rise rapidly and get a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. Movies were produced in a way that was responsible. There were actual stories being told on the screen. And now it's all gone because it's so fabric and people's concentration spans have collapsed because of the machines. So the average American can concentrate for about 45 seconds, and then they're what? I'm on to something else unless it's an explosion. it's a tough culture.
Bill, there's one other thing that's not related to Trump, but it's in your book. And I didn't know this, that when you did the book Killing Lincoln, was that your biggest bestseller, by the way?
Yes, Killing Lincoln sold more than 3 million copies, all of them. You know, the total is 17 million in print for the history books, which is the biggest nonfiction series of all time.
My God, that's incredible. So for Killing Lincoln, Obama brought you up to the Lincoln bedroom? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's
cool. I interviewed him for his Super Bowl Sunday. I got along with him pretty well. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't agree with a lot of his economics and foreign policy outlook, but as a guy... he and I communicated very well, and he brought me up to the Lincoln bedroom and showed me the handwritten Emancipation Proclamation by Old Abe, and I almost cried. I mean, it was just amazing to see that. It was totally unexpected, and it was very generous of President Obama to do that.
He was an incredible politician. I mean, there are a few just in our lifetime, Reagan, Clinton, Obama, and Trump. I mean, they were all great, and they were all great
so
retail.
The other three?
Yeah, but he's a great
so
politician.
Them.
Yeah,
and that is one of the reasons why the swamp hates him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a style thing. The swamp does not like someone like him coming in and saying, "You're all morons. I'm going to do it my way."
Right,
the swamp wants its butt kissed.
Well, you talked about Krauthammer, God rest his soul, and I had, I think, one of the last knockdown dragouts with him on Fox with Special Report. I mean, it got fairly ugly, but he just found Trump to be vulgar. It really was a vulgarity index red zone for Krauthammer, who I really liked Charles. I didn't know him well personally, but obviously very talented and extremely intelligent. But
well,
he just hated. He just couldn't stand Trump because he was vulgar.
Yeah, I have a couple of favorite parts of the book of the United States of Trump, and my interaction with Charles about the election and how it was going unfolding.
That's a great part. Great part of the book.
Yeah, thank you. And because I, like you, respected Charles Krauthammer, very brilliant man. And then when I tell you what happened in the debate when Megyn Kelly confronted Donald Trump, that's never been really laid out that way before, and I'm very proud of that part.
Yeah, well, I don't want to. I read that part, but I don't want to reveal everything in the book. But
no, thank you. I appreciate
it. It's not a good idea to do that.
Thank you for reading it, Laura.
I love it. Well, you and I have talked about. I knew it was coming out, and I thought I was going to get it in galleys, Bill, so I really could read it early. But I did get. I read it. You know, I'm pretty quick read. It's fantastic, and no surprise. No surprise there. We just love having you on. The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America, Bill O'Reilly's soon-to-be 16th number one bestseller in the United States. Bill, thanks so much. Come back soon.
Anytime, Laura. Thank you for having me.
All right. All the best. Let's go to Jim in Arizona. A lot of you are calling in on impeachment mania, even though it's obvious, as O'Reilly said, the president, you might not like his style, but there's nothing wrong with his call. Well, what happened with this Biden and Hunter deal? A lot of people are asking questions about it. I would have said the same darn thing. Let's go to Jim in Arizona. Jim.
Oh, good morning, Laura. Yeah, very quickly, my concern or the disturbing element of this whole thing, an impeachment, it's just a harbinger, sort of a future shock of all things coming out of Washington and their talking heads in the mainstream media. Nothing, in my estimation, has more effect than marginalization. And unless we vote to remove this radical aspect of our political system out, we'll become nothing more than a super gigantic Nancy Pelosi district. Just another gigantic international bus stop restroom, for the lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, well, China's loving this. I can tell you that. China's loving this. I think China loves the fact that the U.S. seems to be in domestic political turmoil because they see that weakening America. It weakens us as a country. So anything that when we were bogged down in Iraq, China didn't care. That's like U.S. throwing trillions of dollars away and using enormous amount of its military resources. China was thrilled. China's thrilled today. Ladies and gentlemen, only 1 week left for the summer inventory clearance sale from Chamonix. Summer might be over, but the sale goes on. And right now, when you order Genucel jawline treatment, you get the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness free. That's right, you get it free today. Here's Beverly from Huntsville raving about the results she saw with Genucel. She said she loves the product. She saw a difference almost immediately. She recommends it to all her friends when they ask her, "How does your skin look so great at your young age?" Well, it's time to stock up on the best skincare out there. And also, you can just try the luxury and effectiveness of Genucel at the best prices of the year. Your results are guaranteed or receive 100% of your money back, no questions asked. And you'll start seeing results really fast. If you don't like what you see, you will get your money back. This is a no-brainer. Genucel's immediate effects is also free with your order. And so look, it ends up being three free gifts with one order. You can't get this anywhere else. You only have 1 week left to order, so do it now. Go to GenuCell.com. Again, GenuCell, GenuCell.com. And I want to remind everybody that, you know, you take your home and sometimes your security of your home for granted. You close the door and you think everything's fine. But you've got to do everything in your power to protect your family, because your home is where your heart is, where your possessions, sometimes your valuable possessions are. And of course, the most valuable is your family. Well, ADT can provide everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks, lights, all controlled from the ADT app on your phone, the sound of your voice. It's peace of mind and it's priceless. I want you to learn more. Get a custom designed ADT home security system connected to first responders installed in your home today. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com.
The Mueller report, I think it's fair to say, did not deliver what Democrats were hoping for. And so I think that you...
No, that is not true. That is not true. If you're referring to the collusion part of it, it was not strong, but there's still a lot more to come about collusion. Yes.
Well, meaning what? About Russia or about Ukraine?
Both. Because when you talk about Russia, you have to bring in Ukraine. But don't forget, Manafort had a contract with and worked with the Ukraine. And so there's a lot there with both of those.
Joining us now, Joe DiGenova, former U.S. attorney for D.C. and lawyer extraordinaire. Joe, it's great to have you on. Well, now you're hearing from Democrats that they can't trust the transcript. That's the new thing they're saying. Well, they started saying it on my show last night, but now then fast forward to today, and it's, oh, well, these are just, that's their version.
I think we've kind of reached a point in this debate where it's quite obvious that it isn't a question of satisfying the Democrats, because they're not interested in being satisfied. They're interested in a fight. They are interested in impeachment. They're going to go there. That's now settled. Even though Pelosi does not have the votes yet, which is why she does not have a formal impeachment inquiry, the only way for her, she lied yesterday when she announced that she was authorizing an official impeachment inquiry. That is false. She cannot do that. In order to have an official impeachment inquiry, there must be a vote on the floor of the House authorizing an impeachment inquiry, and it must be voted on. And that is the only way you can authorize subpoenas for an impeachment inquiry. That's why when she goes to court now without the impeachment inquiry, she will lose on all efforts to get presidential documents because of executive privilege, which cannot be overridden. But that aside, it's obvious that what happened yesterday was a game that the Democrats are playing. This is all about power. They've taken over the House. They've acted like fools in exercising their authority. They've declared war on the President of the United States, regardless of the facts, and their reaction to this perfectly innocent transcript that was released today, that it proves exactly what they said when it does not, gets us into 1984 world and George Orwell. This is a sick party. These are very sick people. They want total power, and they're willing to destroy a man and a country in the process. So here's what Republicans need to do. Except for Mitt Romney, who believes all the crap that the Democrats are putting out. Here's what Republicans need to do. They need to declare full-scale war on the Democratic Party. This is a fight for the heart and soul of this country and the Constitution. The 2020 election is about the Constitution and saving our system of government from people who are fundamentally crazy, and that is the Democratic Party. That performance by Nancy Pelosi yesterday was an embarrassment to the House of Representatives and the speakership, but she is so craven in her lust for power that she doesn't care. I'm embarrassed for the Congress. I'm embarrassed for America because of the Democrats. And now it's full-scale war because they're going to try to impeach him. They have no chance of conviction in the Senate, but they don't care. They want to dirty him up. They want the election to be run in 2020 on the fact that he was impeached. This is the future of America. This is a fight for the life of the country, and I'm all in, and I hope everybody listening gets off their fanny, gets out and votes, gets other people to vote, but does more than that. They raise money against Democrats. They fight Democrats. And if I can quote Barack Obama, get in their faces and argue with them.
I'm in the fight every day. I mean, Hannity, Tucker, and I, and some other folks in the media are. I mean, you. We got a small but mighty band of folks, and the funny thing is, Joe, they actually think they can intimidate us with their stupid hashtags and their idiotic media campaigns and vilification campaigns. And in literally their efforts to silence conservative voices empowers me all anew. It just gives me a new injection of like red blood cells. I'm like, yeah, let's go, let's bring it. Let's suit up, let's do it.
I agree, and it does the same for me. In fact, I'm into the double down mode now of fighting back, and I will not tolerate the kind of things. Like a Mitt Romney pretending
pathetic.
That he's person. I mean, what an embarrassment!
What he is an embarrassment.
He's just. I mean, I've never seen a more. He is so strange. It's almost like he's he's one of those guys from Area 51. He's bizarre.
Yeah.
He's like a mannequin of a senator.
It's a very odd, sad. Dynamic, infuriating in other ways, but he has no power. He has no constituency. Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is like George W. Bush. God bless him. I mean, they have like a very nice veneer, and you like them in ways as people, but then you say, well, wait a second. You couldn't, when America needed you to make the right calls on certain things, you wouldn't do it. And now all you do is criticize Trump. Either ridicule him by calling him a nativist, as we've heard from the Bushes, or imply that he committed some crime in a call with the Ukrainian president. I mean, you never heard the Bushes criticize Obama, never, ever, ever. And now suddenly we hear, well, George Bush didn't even vote for him. Just what? It's just pathetic.
Well, this is why. The people who are the Never Trumpers, the Bush people, all the people who have pretended to be Republicans. You're not a Republican if you don't support the person who took the White House from the one person in the last 100 years who should never be president, Hillary Clinton. Can you imagine how many parts of the government would have been for sale had she become president and Bill Clinton be able to get millions of dollars in speaking fees for the Clinton Foundation? I mean, it's remarkable. And that doesn't even bother. That doesn't even bother Mitt Romney or a lot of other people who are never Trumpers. It's quite remarkable, actually.
No, and I think, in the end, this is a grand exercise in mask removal. Everybody's mask is now off. Everyone really stands.
Yes.
Trump's really done that to the media and to politics. He's done it.
Well put, Laura. Well put, because in fact now all of the pretense has been removed from the phonies. And we now know where the media has always been, which is they love Republicans in two instances, when they lose and when they're dead.
Apparently, Joe Romney just spoke out, and he said, what we've seen from the transcript is, quote, deeply troubling.
I did read the transcript. It remains troubling in the extreme. It's deeply troubling.
So he's basically saying the same thing as David Axelrod.
Yeah. Well, I think what we've seen from Romney is deeply troubling. I think we've seen a man conflicted, so compromised morally. I think Romney is basically an amoral man. The notion that you can accept the illegal behavior of the Obama administration and the Biden vice presidency and be worried about Donald Trump, who has done absolutely nothing wrong, shows you to be a moral preener, a phony. Mr. Romney is, as far as I'm concerned, he's dead to me as a Republican. And I think his performance is disgusting. It deserves the anger and the vitriol of Republicans all over the country. Mr. Romney is a very sick man, self-centered, delusional, a loser, actually, one of the worst things you can possibly be in politics.
Well, again, you would think that if you're a Republican, you'd be one of the 94% now who support the president. Jeffrey Toobin, another one of your favorites on CNN, further moved into the irrelevancy and radicalism mode. Let's listen.
So Jeffrey Toobin, Bill Barr, conflicted, special counsel 2.0.
Well, there are a couple of possibilities. It may just be he would recuse himself and the deputy attorney general would take over the investigation. Rod Rosenstein's successor. Yes.
Conflicted. Why? Because the president referenced Bill Barr will be in touch with you to the Ukrainian president, Joe?
Well, first of all, Bill Barr is not going to recuse himself because there is no reason to. This is nonsense. This is, again, the game of process that the Democrats and the leftists play. It's all about using the legal system against anybody they don't like, whether it's lawsuits, FEC complaints. They have now weaponized the law in a way that so harms the law and makes it legally irrelevant that you can't do anything to save it. Jeffrey Toobin is, of course, a legal whore. I mean, he's just pathetic. And his pronouncements on television are beyond loony. He's like Napolitano. I mean, they're two goofy people just speaking their minds fruitlessly into the wind, wishing that they could have authority and a position of power. I think the best thing you can say about Toobin is, thank God he's not a federal prosecutor. Thank God he's not a federal judge. At least on CNN, he can only embarrass himself and hurt CNN.
And Joe, your view on what the president should do as a political matter during all of this. I mean, my sense is that, and then I'd like to know your opinion. My sense is that the president should do in a way what Clinton did. Like, I'm working hard for the American people, and this is obviously ridiculous. This is the same stuff they pulled before. But the USMCA needs to be passed, infrastructure, all these things that would make your life better. They clearly show they can't govern. But I'm going to do everything in my power. I think he shouldn't even react to this stuff at this point. They look so stupid.
Well, first of all, he's constitutionally incapable of not defending himself, so he's going to react. But you are absolutely correct. He has to design a strategy to the extent that he can do it. He has to defend himself because that's who he is and what he is. But then he has to move on and talk about what he's doing, what he's done, what the accomplishments are, and the things that need to be finished to get it done. I believe that his strength lies in his power of personality and his ability to get things done, and that's how he has to win. People are going to be very tired of this so-called, quote-unquote, formal impeachment inquiry.
The actions of the Trump presidency revealed the dishonorable fact of the president's betrayal of his oath of office, betrayal of our national security, and betrayal of the integrity of our elections. Therefore, today, I'm announcing the House of Representatives moving forward with an official impeachment inquiry. I'm directing our six committees to proceed with their investigations under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry. The president must be held accountable. No one is above the law.
This is not what the American people want. They don't believe we're in a national crisis. The Democrats say this is a constitutional crisis. The American people do not believe that.
No.
If they did, there would be more Democrats in the House voting for impeachment. And the reason she didn't take a vote on impeachment is because she does not have the votes.
Unbelievable. Well, I have to say that this is a very sad situation for the country. It's extremely demoralizing, I think, for people who thought that on some basic issues, government was actually supposed to work to make our lives better. Reports out that China and Chinese officials thrilled about these new developments in the United States because they think it makes it more likely that Trump will have trouble getting reelected, you know, even though we think it's probably the opposite. But they're thrilled. Anytime the U.S. is thrown into turmoil, self-inflicted or otherwise, it's great for the Chinese. That's a tragedy.
Well, Laura, your point is extremely important for the American people to understand and your listeners. What the Democrats are doing in this quest, this insane quest for power and to take down this president, they are hurting America. He is in the midst of negotiations on Iran, on trade deals with China, on Syria, on the Middle East, and we're in turmoil in the Middle East with the Israeli election. We have problems with the UK, and we're trying to work with the UK on a separate trade deal. And the Democrats care about one thing. They want to destroy this man. And if they hurt America in the process, they don't care. They are hurting the president overseas in the conduct of foreign policy. They are undercutting him. This is one of the worst periods in American history, and the Democrats are responsible for it. I have to restrain myself because I don't want to say the things that I feel deeply about them. Yep. My anger is so great about what they are doing to this man and to this country, and that's why your listeners have got to dig in. This is a fight for the heart and soul of this country. They've got to fight back. They cannot take this. They have to make the Democrats pay. They have to vote. They have to get people to vote against the Democrats. They have to give money. They have to do the things necessary to win and keep this president in office.
Yeah, they want to punish him. And I think Democrats, I'm going to say this on the Ingram angle, the Democrats want to punish the Trump voters. Remember when Obama told that Latino coalition, punish your enemies? Part of this is to punish the American people. I really believe they have a sick and twisted desire to punish us. And I say, we're going to punish you. You're going to flip back all those districts you took, and we're going to flip some states because we're going to demonstrate to everybody that you are incapable of making a decision for the betterment of America. You're just incapable of doing it. That's what
Hillary
I believe.
Hillary started this with the deplorables and the condemnation of more than 63 million Americans who voted for Donald Trump. The Democrats think that those 63 million Americans are irredeemable, that they are morally bankrupt.
Mm.
They think that if you support Donald Trump, you are a racist and everything else. That is an insult to all of us who supported Donald Trump. And then when you talk to them about it, say, well, I don't mean you. Well, of course you mean me. You say you mean Republicans. You say you mean people who support Donald Trump. They are making moral judgments about people that they don't know. They are accusing people of being racist. I will say this, though, the one good thing. They have used the charge of racism so much that it no longer has any meaning. I mean, they are now handing out I am a racist T-shirts at county fairs, and people are buying them up in droves. I mean, this is hilarious. These people are nuts. They are nuts. And all you had to do was watch Nancy Pelosi's eyes as she was struggling to keep her dentures in, giving that speech yesterday. By the way, it was interesting. The networks set up a network feed for her with a teleprompter, and then they took no questions.
I noticed
that. How's that for free press, huh?
God, wouldn't we all love that treatment? Wouldn't that be great? We'd love that treatment.
Their teleprompter, their cameras in a studio for her on the Hill, and they didn't demand that she answer questions.
No, she walked right off set. They set the set and they let her walk right off of it.
That's right.
Joe DeGeneva, I've got to say there are a few people I would want in a foxhole with me. And you're in the foxhole with me. You're there right with me every night.
Thank you,
and we just love you, and thank you for doing what you're doing for this country. And God bless you. We'll talk to you real soon. Joe DeGeneva here on the Laura Ingram Podcast. I want to thank all of our sponsors again who are supporting this show: ADT Home Security, Genucel, and NetSuite. We support them because they support you. Remember, America now and forever on the Laura Ingram Podcast. See you next time.